News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, just one in three of us think that hard work alone determines success in Ireland today. That's according to a Sunday Independent Ireland Thinks opinion poll. So is it true that hard work alone doesn't equate to getting on in life? Jill O'Manley, sociology lecturer at Waterford Institute of Technology, joins us. Jill, what's your take on it? Jill, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
How's it going? Just wondering, what is your take? Is hard work alone enough to succeed in this country?
Oh, well, absolutely not. And it's lovely to see that it's starting to become something that the general public is attuned to. You know, studies essentially show that grit or hard work has a very modest predictive power for success. Its effect actually even just disappears when we take socioeconomic status into account.
Yes. What, disappears completely or is less?
Almost completely disappears. So when taken into account, you know, when socioeconomic status is taken into account and IQ, inherent IQ, parental education, household income, essentially hard grit kind of, it disintegrates because it's a concept, essentially. So when we talk about hard work, when we talk about grit, essentially those things even are traits that have been encouraged and reinforced through upbringing. So things like self-control, persistence, stress tolerance, they're all socialized behaviors. They're not inherent in any one particular person more than any other, but they can be trained, they can be built up in people.
Interesting. Sorry, just to clarify, just so I'm sure I'm understanding you fully. So this idea that you can, you know, if you're living in a very difficult background and difficult environment, you can work hard and get through this. Your point is that kind of it's learned behavior, and the chances of that learned behavior being in existence there are far, far lower. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, even when we think about if you're born into a family that's in a higher socioeconomic that has a higher socioeconomic status, is more, additional income. Life is a little bit easier in terms of finances. There's going to be less external stress. And even something like less perceived difficulty in terms of accessing opportunities, etc., will breed confidence. And then something called confirmation bias can come in. So if you have less perceived bias, or rather less perceived difficulty in accessing opportunity, then you're going to be trained to see opportunities. You're going to be trained to see life as, you know, more of a positive thing. And so therefore, even that is written into your psychology, written into how you approach the world. And life will be a little bit easier for you because you're seeing the world in a different way. It's less stressful.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to deal with life in more of a kind of a...
Haven't we made strides, though, in this country in recent years? I mean, you have the DESH schools. You have, you know, much better career guidance, particularly in those DESH schools. You have the DARE program that allows people from disadvantaged areas, disadvantaged backgrounds to go to college. Aren't there changes afoot? Have they made a difference?
They have, yeah. I mean, certainly things like housing, or rather food security in terms of young kids going to school and, you know, the breakfast programs and things like that certainly do have an impact. But I think actually we need to really level the playing field at a much younger age. So research shows that countries that have a more equal opportunity, countries whereby this class divide isn't as noticeable and doesn't have an impact on life chances, tends to treat early education care, specifically early education, as a more of a professional entity. It's better subsidised, and the level of educational attainment of those in the working field tends to be higher. Essentially, they're treated in a similar way to primary school teachers in Ireland, and that has a massive knock-on impact. And I think that's really where we need to be looking. So
what exactly, when you say early education, what are you talking about?
So essentially things like early educators at the moment are to some extent almost considered to be babysitters. They need to be educated and paid on a par with primary teachers. It needs to be an education system that teaches about how the systems work, not just about the individuals and their academic improvement. There tends to be the workforce in general in the early childcare is often low paid, over-regulated, under-respected, and that needs to change, because if we can fix structural inequality in early childhood, then that tends to have a knock-on impact as you go through life.
Okay.
So even little things
aren't
like...
Look, there's always work to be done. I'm not suggesting in any way we should rest on our laurels. But when I say, if you look across the Irish Sea, for example, I mean, surely we're doing a lot better than Britain. Are we not doing a lot better than many countries in that respect?
I think we are. But that doesn't mean there isn't a bit of a way to go.
No, fair.
You know?
Fair. Okay.
Even policy language in the system is focused on fairness. It needs to be more focused on fairness of opportunity rather than hard work. So little things like networking, little things like social capital. So networking, rather than who you know, being able to kind of enable you to get your first job, for example. That mentoring system needs to be worked into.
Is that overstated? I mean, I often hear people saying, oh, you know, the old school tie and stuff. I went to a normal non-fee paying school. I've never particularly found hitting barriers because I didn't go to a certain school, or maybe I'm missing something.
Well, research shows that teachers actually have been proven to unconsciously rate identical work higher when they believe the student is from a higher socioeconomic background.
Really?
Yeah. So this is research that's been replicated throughout the OECD. So it's not just, you know, lip service. We're talking about these findings that are actually coming through and actually having an impact on our life chances.
Okay.
But these differences are not just showing up at secondary school. They're showing up as an early age. Like, you're talking about 12 months of age. There's a difference in language capacity and vocabulary with young kids. You're talking about things like, you know, parental capacity. How much time does a parent have to spend interacting with their kids or even reading with them? These things have massive impact and an underestimated impact, but it's coming through in the research, you know? Things like
how much time, but some people would say, and to play devil's advocate, how much willingness as well?
Exactly. And so, well, I mean, that's something that we'll never, you know what I mean? That's another issue. But I mean, on a social level, policy wise, what can we do to affect it? We can write this type of approach in at a very young age, at an early education stage. We can lower the staff to child ratios, because essentially, once a child hits 10, 11, 12, a lot of those formative years of where we can actually have a really positive impact on their life chances is just kind of, it's not going to be as beneficial, essentially.
Jill,
we need to work in at a very young age and into the early childcare sector these fundamental changes.
Jill O'Malley, sociology lecturer at South East Technological University in Waterford. Really interesting. Thanks a lot for talking to us this morning. 087 1400 106. Let us know what you think. Do you agree with Jill? Is hard work on its own not enough? Are there too many barriers if you come from a certain...
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Background, let us know what you make of it. 0874